It was not easy to make this big transition. The answer of the ethical question which was raised by Arjuna did not rest in ethicality. It was on a higher plane, and Sri Krishna had to lead Arjuna to a higher plane of consciousness. Now, how to lead him to a higher level of consciousness? The one element which was left by Arjuna as an opening to a higher level was Arjuna's argument that he should renounce. He must not fight, he must renounce, he must go away. Now this idea of renunciation is slightly higher than the ethicality. In ethics you have got to do. Whereas what he said, I will not fight, I will renounce. Now this was a small element left in his whole argument, and it was through this door that Sri Krishna ascends higher. That already talk of renunciation, I'll tell you what is renunciation. And his whole argument starts with renunciation. You say, can see the first 3-4 chapters are only about what is actionable renunciation. So it is through that door that Sri Krishna takes Arjuna upwards. And because Sri Krishna's answer is on a higher plane, and Arjuna is not able to read that higher plane, he constantly says, all right, come now back to the brass tacks. And when you say that knowledge is superior to action, because that was one of the propositions that Sri Krishna makes at a certain stage, he says, if you think intelligence is much higher than action, then why do you throw me into action at all? And I'm already saying that I want to go out from here. Arjuna's crisis can be understood first when we understand his psychology. That was the reason why we are dwelling upon this so much. Otherwise, we won't understand why this whole debate is on. It was the psychology of Arjuna, which is peculiar psychology. He has come to his crisis first of all through sensations, because he was a person who can be affected through sensations. Sensationally, his crisis is a sense of horror. To imagine horror is one thing, but to see the horror before his eyes, which he now could see much more easily when he sees such a huge expanse of armies standing before him, and an imagination that these people will ultimately be slaughtered, this tremendous sense of horror seizes him. Not that he could not imagine earlier, he was capable, he had done it. He has fought so many wars. But to see this huge arena filled with people, and among them his grandfather and his brothers and his closest relatives and friends. So first of all, sensationally his crisis arises in the sense of horror. Then there is a sense of pity. He feels as it were great pity for everybody because so many are going to be killed. And then sensationally he feels disgust. There are 3 words which are very important to understand the sensational crisis. Sense of horror, pity and disgust. What is all this? What is the meaning of all this? Therefore, now comes the second level of his crisis, the vital crisis. What is the vital crisis? The loss of attraction. Usually the vital being is enjoined upon action by attraction. You like this, you don't like this. It is like, dislike, preference and rejection on the basis of your preferences. Now there is a loss of attraction. loss of attraction of all the ordinary aims of life in which you were living up till there, which he will expound later on when he sees his real argument, which he enunciates himself. His ordinary aim of life was what? First, normally we all live for joy, for happiness. And that is his first argument. Now come say, I don't desire now anymore, he says. The loss of the attraction to life and the aim of life, the normal aim of life is to have happiness and joy, which he says, I don't want it. Or, what do you want further in your life? You want to help others. You want to have victory. But for what? Victory to share with your own people. But these are the very people who are to be killed. So with whom will you share your happiness? So if these are the very people with whom you would like to share your victory, if they are the very people to be killed, then what's the point in doing it? This is his vital crisis. Then there is his emotional crisis. What is his emotional crisis? Here is my grandfather, my friend. All these have to go. I mean, the people with whom you are enjoying your whole life. All to be slaughtered. So this is an emotional crisis. And then there is the practical crisis. What is the practical crisis? The practical crisis is that all life is to put into practice the highest that you regard in the terms of morality, good, right, justice. This is practicality, to see that the right wins in the world, justice wins in the world. Now, following this path, he now sees that following this very path is the weakest point, where all he thinks is right and just, ultimately will be destroyed at the national level. And this is a very important perception. In order that there should be right and justice, there should at least be people. And people who are themselves devoted to right and justice, then only you can say that you have now worked for justice and right. But now, the action to which he has now come at present is arrived at by pursuing the path of the right. He now sees that by doing this very action, he will come to a situation or will create a situation where human beings devoted to the right and justice will be destroyed on a large scale. And manhood in the country will be destroyed. The women will go astray. And there will arise a whole people, Varna Sankara, the people who have no idea of right and good. You see, this is the consequence which will arise out of this. So, doing the right and justice, pursuing that path, he is going to create a situation where for a long time or for many, many years, even centuries, there will be a complete disorder who will not even think of the right and justice. This was his great practical crisis. Why, yes.
But this is the destruction of evil
that you said all before. True, that's why he said, I want to destroy evil. Ultimately, I will arrive at what point? Where people themselves will become evil. You see the argument. I'll slaughter thousands of young men. Therefore, lots of women will become widows. Who will then go astray? And will produce generations of people who will be born out of going astray from their life. Therefore, the generations will not obey the law of the right and justice. The path of evil will be more easily amenable to those people who are born out of such a crisis in their life. Now, this is not fully expounded in the Gita because it's not so easy to say. But he says that kulastriya, the women, will go astray when manhood on a large scale is destroyed. What will happen to women? They will go astray. And then children will be born on a large scale. In what condition? Therefore, he speaks of varna sankara. The people who are born will be born who are out of their varna, that is to say, out of the dharma. Therefore, you will not be able to preach them what is the dharma. This was the great challenge that comes before him now, at this stage. In fact, this is the point which you should expound further, because it's a very important point.